God given to us today are Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 4. It is page 218 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Amen. It was Athens, where Paul visited first in the Achaia area of the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. But it was Stephanus from Corinth who first received the gospel and became Christian in Achaia after Paul preached the gospel in the Jewish synagogue, Agora, and Areopagus. As studied last Sunday, when visiting Athens, Stephanus from Corinth happened to listen to Paul's sermon, received the God, and became Paul's first fruit in Achaia. When Stephanus from Corinth told Paul the severe corruption of Corinth, Paul wasted no time to leave Athens for Corinth before his fellow Silas and Timothy arrived at Macedonia, which means Paul accepted his meeting with Stephanus from Corinth as God's guide for him to come to the corrupt city of Corinth. Generally, Corinth is not considered something more than a name of place on the Bible. This is why all stories on Corinth are underestimated as just all stories. However, we have lived listening to or mentioning stories about Corinth since our childhood without knowing. Among theories of a psychologist Freud, there is Oedipus complex theory, where the term denotes a child's desire to sexually possess the parent of the opposite sex when having a sense of rivalry with the parent of the same sex. It would be a rare case if there is someone who hasn't heard of it. But there may be not many people who know that Oedipus, who was quoted by Freud to justify his theory and whom people heard of or mentioned at least once in the lifetime, was a prince of Corinth. Laius, king of Thebes, a city-state of Greece, had a son with the queen, Iocaste. But he learned from an oracle that he was destined to be killed by his own son, who would then marry his mother, Iocaste, when growing up. The king tied his son's feet with iron chain and let a servant kill him. The servant couldn't kill him, so left him in the woods. The child was found by a passing shepherd who offered him to a Corinthian king, Polybus, since he had no kids. King Polybus adopted him as his son. and named him Oedipus, meaning swollen foot, for his feet were chained and swollen. Oedipus didn't know about that at all, and grew up as the prince of Corinth, thinking the king and the queen of Corinth were his parents. One day, visiting the Delphi temple, Oedipus was told by an oracle that he would kill his father and marry his own mother. Stunned by that, Oedipus made his mind that he would not go back to Corinth, not to harm the king and the queen, whom he firmly believed his birth parents. And coming down from the Delphi temple, he met a group of people heading toward the temple. In an argument there on a crossroad for who should give way for the other, Oedipus killed the leader of the group. But Oedipus didn't know that that man whom he killed was his own father, Laius, the king of Thebes. Instead, he set out on a wandering life, not to harm Corinthian king and queen Polybus, whom he believed his own parents, and heard of a terrible monster, Sphinx, harassing people of Thebes. With the head and torso of a woman and body of a lion, Sphinx killed a man passing by when he or she failed to answer correctly to his riddle. There was none who gave correct answer. So, as a result, when someone met Sphinx, it meant death. Oedipus went to the Sphinx to save people of Thebes from the Sphinx. The creature posed her riddle. What walks on 4 legs in the morning, 2 legs at noon, and 3 legs in the evening? Oedipus solved the riddle, answering that man crawls on all fours in infancy, walks upright on 2 legs in adulthood, and uses a cane as a 3rd leg in old age. The Sphinx was so frustrated that Oedipus had answered her riddle that she killed herself. The Thebans, freed from the Sphinx, made Oedipus their new king, and he married widowed queen Iocasta as his wife. But he came to know that the man he killed on the narrow crossroad toward the Delphi temple was his birth father, and the queen Iocaste was his birth mother. The queen hung herself in shock after knowing the truth, and Oedipus also gouged out his own eyes, for the eyes didn't recognize even his own father, and went into exile. The tragedy of Oedipus became the subject of a work of literature titled Oedipus Rex by Sophocles, one of the 3 ancient Greek tragedians in the 5th century BC. The Oedipus Rex, praised by Aristotle as the greatest tragedy ever, is well known in the Greek civilization. There were none who didn't know the story of Oedipus among intellectuals in the Greek civilization in the past. And Paul knew a lot about history and literature, and would also have known that Corinth was the birthplace of Oedipus. As such, other than the Oedipus story, there is another example that we are familiar with regarding Corinth, which has been talked about since we were young and dealt with on elementary school textbook. The most representative in old Western architectural orders are Doric, Ionic, and Corinthian order. Among them, the Corinthian was the most elegant and modern, and is one of the key orders in European architecture since the 5th century BC. That order was so important that it is on the textbook after 2,000 years in Korea. That famous Corinthian order was originated from Corinth, where Paul visited. That the most elegant and modern Corinthian order was originated from Corinth means people of Corinth had a high aesthetic sense, which led to the fact that they were rich enough to materialize their sense of beauty. As such, when we know that the Oedipus and the Corinth order we are familiar with are related to Corinth, Corinth also becomes very familiar city with us, not an old city in the Bible, which has nothing to do with us. The prosperous city Corinth was conquered by the Roman Empire in 146 BC and lost its old glory. But in 44 BC, or 2,000 years ago, one century before Paul visited Corinth in the text, Caesar of the Roman Empire restored Corinth as bigger than in the past, with moving retired soldiers and freed slaves to Corinth. That is to say, Corinth became a city where the number of immigrants from all different places was bigger than that of the natives. Therefore, identity could not obviously be found in Corinthians. However, Corinth, which connects Greece and the Peloponnesus Peninsula, had both east and west ports, so that it enjoyed an enormous prosperity as a trade hub. So when Paul visited Corinth, it was one of four biggest cities in the Roman Empire. If people of a city enjoys wealth without identity established and seek only beauty, the final destination would only be corruption. This is why Corinth, one of the four biggest cities, was a backsliding and corrupt city full of dispassion, sensual pleasure, and greed. In Corinth, there were all the temples such as the Apollo, Pantheon, Hera, Hercules, and Hermes. Among them, the most outstanding was the Aphrodite of Acro-Corinth, the top of the 575-meter-high mountain. Aphrodite is the Greek god of love, beauty, and pleasure, whose name is Venus in English. In that temple, there were almost 1,000 priestesses who were legally approved prostitutes in God's name. If there was prostitution in temples, it is needless to say outside the temple. At the time, the people of Corinth were so sexually corrupt that to act as a Corinth meant to conduct sexual immorality. To become Corinthian, to be sexually perverse. Corinthian man was used to indicate a pimp, while Corinthian woman meant a prostitute. Therefore, it looks meaningless on the surface and reckless for Paul to visit Corinth alone, a big city of corruption. However, the Lord, whom Paul believed in, would not let him alone waste himself in such reckless and meaningless thing. Let us look at verse 1 to 3. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. This is a testimony telling that God prepared a couple of Aquila and Priscilla in advance for Paul visiting Corinth alone to preach the gospel there. In the text, verse 2, Priscilla, the wife of Aquila, is a nickname of Prisca, who is on Paul's letter. I personally am touched greatly whenever I learn the testimony as today's text. Aquila, whom Paul met, originally was a Jew, but he was not a native who was born in Israel land. If it was so, Paul could have not met Aquila in a strange city. Aquila was diaspora Jewish, born in the mainland, which sits the northeast and southeast side of the Black Sea, who left Israel and lived in other nations for generations, and so spoke Greek language, a common language in the Mediterranean, as a mother tongue. He did not consider living in other nations as weird, even a little bit. Therefore, he had never hesitated when left Asia for Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire in Europe, and settled down there. But he had to leave Rome because the Roman Emperor Claudius deported Jews living in Rome. As mentioned for Acts chapter 16, verse from 16 to 25, according to a historian called Suetonius, there were approximately 20,000 Jewish people in Rome at that time. But an agitator called Crassus incited the Jews to rage a protest, and Claudius deported all the Jews without the citizenship among the 20,000 Jews living in Rome. But there is some argument that the emperor deported Jewish people due to the riot broken out by the Jews who believed in God being persecuted by the Jews who are not Christians, in that the pronunciation of Crestus, the leader of the riot, is similar as the Greek word meaning Christ. In any way, what is clear is that Aquila and his wife were deported from Rome because they had no citizenship. After being deported from the capital, Rome, Aquila and his wife moved to Corinth of Europe instead of going back to Asia, and started making tent there. The first people whom Paul met in Corinth alone were Aquila and his wife. Intriguingly, Paul also was a tent maker. Regardless of being rich or not, Jews had a practice to train their sons with their jobs for a rainy day. Tarsus, where Paul was born, was well known for leather skin used for tent making, and Paul could naturally learn how to make tents growing up. So Paul lived at Aquila's home and made tents with Aquila and his wife. In Greek original, to ergazomai, indicating to work, is imperfective, meaning Paul worked very hard. And the result is testified in verse 4. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Since he stayed at Aquila's and took care of room and board by making tents with Aquila and preached on Sabbath at the Jewish synagogue, in this way, he did not stay there for several weeks or months. Based on verse 11, Paul stayed in Corinth for 1 year and 6 months and wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonica to Christians of Thessalonica. As Paul stayed in Corinth for 1.5 years, he wrote Romans for 3 months when he visited Corinth again for his third mission trip. Since he stayed in Corinth for 1.5 years, he was able to have a sense of mission. Toward the capital of Roman Empire. But if Paul couldn't meet Aquila and his wife in Corinth, anything here would not be able to happen. Then let us look back on the life of Aquila. He was a tent maker, but if he was not a Jew, born in other nations, if he did not stay in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, if he was not deported from Rome to Corinth before Paul visited Corinth, the meeting of Paul and Aquila and his wife could not even be possible in the first place. And then let us think about it more deeply. How did Aquila become diaspora, born in other nations? It was because Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire in 586 BC. How could Aquila, born in Asia, move and be settled in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire? It was because the Roman Empire defeated the Greek Empire to receive the world's hegemony and naturally became the capital of the Mediterranean world. Why did Aquila and his wife have to be deported from Rome, the capital of empire, and moved to Corinth? It was because the Jews in Rome raised a riot led by Crates. Here, we recognize a very important thing. Although Paul's meeting with Aquila and his wife in Corinth looks very personal, that meeting has astonishing and historical events in its background. From the rise of the Babylonian Empire and fall of the Kingdom of Judah, the fall of the Babylonian Empire and Greek Empire's conquest of the Persian Empire, the defeat of the Roman Empire after conquering the Greek Empire, and the Jewish riot took place in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. those greatest historical events were the providence of God to let Paul and Aquila and his wife meet each other in Corinth to fulfill his will 2,000 years ago. How could that happen by the Lord? No doubt, it was because God is the Lord of history. Since God is the Lord of history, He allows a nation either to rise or fall in order to fulfill His will through our lives. The Lord lets us meet someone unimaginable or there be a historical turmoil to lead us into places other than we planned, and accomplishes His providence absolutely through all those processes, transcending time and place. If this should be confession of Christians living in history, Christians must do their best every day without fearing in any turmoil of history. That is the way how God's will for that age to be fulfilled in the turmoil of history. When Aquila and his wife were deported from Rome, how great financial damage did they get in that historical turmoil? But Aquila and his wife made their best efforts in living in Corinth, a newly given opportunity, and thus became a fellow worker of Paul and was used as a path for God transcending time and space, as well as gloriously being included in the Bible. Such an eternal glory could not even be compared with the financial loss that he temporarily had in Rome, as I will elaborate on next time. Do not fear threats of the north repeating every day, whether it fires a missile or not, or makes attacks or not. Let us believe our government with the most information at hand, and just do our parts with best efforts. Through all those processes, God, who saved this land from the Japanese rule and the Korean War, will accomplish His righteous providence on this Korean Peninsula because God is the Lord of history. Let us pray. 2,000 years ago, the meeting of Paul and Aquila and his wife had an enormous historical background. The rise of the Babylonian Empire and fall of the Kingdom of Judah, the fall of the Babylonian Empire and Greek Empire's conquest of the Persian Empire, the defeat of the Roman Empire after conquering the Greek Empire, and the Jewish riot took place in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, and the deportation of Jews by Claudius. Even a mistake in all those processes could stop the meeting of Paul and Aquila and his wife, and thus the work of God did not take place through them. God, we thank you for allowing us realize, no matter how petty we are, the Lord makes a nation either rise or fall to accomplish God's will through us, and let an historical turmoil take place for us living for the Lord. Allow us to have an eye of faith so that we can look with that faithful eyes at the providence of God accomplishing in the historical upheavals. No matter what threat the North makes, whether it fires missile or not, provokes or not, help us believe and realize there is the righteous God's providence precisely accomplishing on this land through all those processes. As we believe that God is the Lord of history, let us live as Christians who can do our own parts in our own places without fearing, no matter what. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.